Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. With our biggest sale ever, furnaces from $39 a month, furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month, plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guaranteed to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4SEASONS.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
You know what? I'm always a glass half full kind of guy. And you can play that forecast all day. It's not going to bring me down because I know. Here's what I know. I know tomorrow's going to be in the 20s. I know Friday's going to be above freezing. And I know I'm going on a long walk both Saturday and Sunday because it's going to be in the 50s and 60s.
And for now, I'm schwitzing over here.
All right.
Fall, spring will return, and then winter will come back again.
But remember, we had this conversation a year or two ago with Brian Busby when I said my spring starts on March 1st. Even though it doesn't technically start until March 21st. And Busby came on the air with us one day and said, Scott, you're actually right. March 1st is just considered the traditional start of spring, even though meteorologically
speaking.
Yeah, good luck with that word again, Scott. Jeez Louise.
How excited are you?
Meteorologically speaking, it doesn't start until March 21st.
Yeah, the weather forecasters like to have the start on the beginning of the month,
yes.
And that's why they choose March 1st.
And so I am 9 days away from being very, very happy.
Huh?
Orange alligators in South Carolina, what's this all about? Emerging from a cold body of water after brumation. I've never even heard that word before. The alligators in South Carolina look like a powdered cheese snack baking in the sun. A photographer, Dan Krieger, was enjoying a cup of coffee earlier this month on his porch in Little River, South Carolina, when he saw what looked like a burnt log across the water. At first, I thought it was a different species of gator, like, geez, not an albino gator, but an orange alligator. Turns out this is a seasonal scale color change for the alligator and for many in the area during the winter. Alligators brumate in the winter. It's hibernation, basically.
It's the equivalent of mammal.
Yeah,
hibernation.
That's correct, which can last from November to February. Who knew? See, you learn something new on the show every day.
Yes,
educational.
You do.
Brumation.
That's right.
Verb.
It is a verb, Dana.
If they don't brumate, they get mad.
That's right.
That causes mayhem.
John Travolta has purchased the Connie airplane.
From here?
Yes.
Yes.
That is correct. He is a aviation enthusiast. And he bought Connie. Okay. And he even flew in Connie in February of 2004.
Remember his son's name was Jet? His late son's name was Jet.
That's right.
I don't remember what Connie was. I just remember it was Kansas City specific. It was Kansas City's Lockheed. It is now registered to Constellation Productions, the company owned by John Travolta. He has aged very well, by the way. He looks good.
Yeah, he does look good. He looks very good. I thought Jack Nicholson looked good the other night. And I know we said this on Monday, but after everything that we had heard that, you know, he hadn't been seen in months, he was in declining health, and, you know, family was worried, didn't think he had much time left.
He looked good to me.
I thought he looked really good at the SNL thing. Very good.
Guess what I watched last night for the 29,000th time, and I can't explain it.
What?
Top Gun?
Oh.
Not even Jaws, because I know for Scott it's Top Gun. When it's on, you have to watch it. I have a handful of very weird movies that have no connection to one another, and when they are on, I have to watch them. Jaws is one of them.
Yeah.
World War Z with Brad Pitt is another one.
I've never seen that.
I Am Legend with Will Smith is one.
Zombie movies don't
Something's Gotta Give with Jack Nicholson is one.
Great movie.
And Deepwater Horizon. I'm embarrassed to say it, but there it is with Mark Wahlberg. When that Exxon well explodes and that thing is on, I have to stop and watch it.
You're
and do you know who else that you forget is John Malkovich is in that as the bad mm-hmm. head BP oil guy.
Yep.
It is a good movie. Oh, God. 2008, 10? I have no idea. It does a good job of describing our oil wells, like floating off the coast of, I think that was in Louisiana when that thing blew.
That's correct.
And why greed.
It was 2010.
Led to that explosion. It is one of the greatest television explosions of all time. It goes on for like 9 minutes. You would love it, Scott.
So what we watched last night, we watched the Gabby Petito movie.
I told you.
We watched all of them, though, all three. Very well done. I mean, it's a terrible, tragic story. I get it. And there's nothing good to say about what happened. But they did a really thorough job.
I watched number one. I was so angry. I have not watched two or three. But from what I read online, his parents look even guiltier than they were at the time.
Yes.
Yes.
They show them, I believe, for the first time in episode two, walking out of their house to the car. And, you know, there are people screaming.
Why are they not in jail? Honestly, Scott, why are they not in jail?
Dana, I don't know that. I don't know the answer to that. Evidence.
They don't have any hard evidence.
But they had something that said burn after reading
that was the
from
letter
him
that,
after she was killed.
Not from him. That was from mom. And mom wrote him a letter, and it said burn after reading on the top. I can't remember what the title of she even titled the letter and wrote burn after reading. And then halfway down, and I was looking at T, I'm like, what mother would write that to her son? But it was, and I'm paraphrasing here, but something to the effect of, I love you so much, son. I'll grab a shovel and bags.
Yes.
And
if you need it.
And we'll take care of it.
I mean, why are they not in prison?
Tell me you know your son killed someone without telling me you know your son killed someone. I'll grab a shovel and bags and we'll take care of it.
By the way, reminder, he was on the run for 2 months
mm-hmm.
after she disappeared. I mean...
And he came straight home without Gabby.
The day after that young woman was last seen, he called his mom, Roberta. They were on the phone for 55 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And hours later, they contacted an attorney.
Yeah. What do you think he told his mom?
For 55 minutes. It wasn't,
minutes.
I'm enjoying the view out here. And then we should call a criminal defense attorney.
That's exactly right. They knew.
Does knowing make you guilty? Now, I think obstruction is a crime. You could make the argument all day long. They obstructed
an investigation.
Yeah. They knew she was dead.
When he came back home several days or weeks later, they were not harboring a fugitive. He had not been charged.
Yo, I disagree with they were not harboring a fugitive.
To be a fugitive, you have to be charged or convicted.
You are harboring someone you know have known to have murdered someone.
And
how is that not aiding and abetting?
I'm not defending their actions in any way, shape, or form, but from the legal standpoint of all of this, their attorneys were probably in talks with them constantly. When they said, when police asked, where is your son? And they said, we don't know. They weren't lying. They probably knew where he was at some point. When they said, where is he? Right now, and they said, we don't know.
So legal
they're
experts
have a very tough time proving that.
They're horrible human. They're just horrible human beings. Researchers and legal people are weighing in on this. With the letter that she wrote, quote, if you need to dispose of a body, I will show up with a shovel and garbage bags.
Yep.
Okay. The date the letter was written couldn't be proven.
Well, what do you think she's writing about?
I know, but it doesn't specifically say, we know you killed this child and we are going to help you dispose of that body. She wrote it in a general enough sense. If you need to dispose of a body, I will show up with shovel garbage bags. Does that make her crazy? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Scary? Yeah. But can you prove that they knew and helped him?
You can make a circumstantial case that they knew or should have known, but I don't know that.
Didn't they help him with supplies or something?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And they
how is that not illegal?
They knew. By the way, to the texter says, "What case are you talking? We're talking about there's a Gabby Petito documentary on Netflix, I believe it is.
If you want to rage watch something, and run, do not walk.
We binged it. It's only three episodes, so we watched all three last night.
But you remember this is the case: Brian Laundrie, Gabby Petito. Right. She was a vlogger. They were traveling around the country. There were allegations of abuse. She disappeared. He was on the run for 2 months.
One thing you have to remember as you're watching the documentary is when the police are called by a third party and they find the van that Gabby and Brian are in, they almost make Brian the victim.
Oh, yeah.
And she is the batterer, if you will.
It's infuriating. She is the one who was struck. And at one point, one of the officers says, "Did she maybe hit you first?" And he goes, "Yeah."
And then at some point, Brian says to the police officer, it's actually caught on body camera. Yeah, she's crazy, man. She's just crazy.
They had a guy call 911 and say, "We just watched a man strike a woman 3 times and they got into this van."
Yeah.
And then you're right. They show up. They do make them separate for the night, but they don't offer her services. They don't. And they flip it around. Well, he flips it around.
Right.
And then she's crying and agrees. Well, I did sort of push him. Oh, my God. You're just like, you're thinking to yourself, she's going to be dead in what, 4 days, 5 days?
Maybe
she's dead.
I think it might be less than that. But, Sam, when we talked about this, I think it was on Monday, you used the term classic manipulation. And that's what you see in this documentary. It's just classic.
Oh, absolutely.
Manipulation.
Yeah. I mean, we always talk about the term gaslighting, and it was overused for a couple of years.
Yeah.
This is, by definition, gaslighting, the way that he was treating her.
913-586-7798, 913-586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. So I told Sam during the break.
They are either guilty or the dumbest people who ever walked the earth.
Sam asked me, "Hey, are you guys staying with this or moving on?" And I just said, "Moving on, probably." And Sam, what I didn't know is at the time that I said that to you, this young lady over here was going into a wormhole like I've never seen before.
Just listen to this. These are despicable human beings.
Digging?
In his October 2023 deposition, Dad Laundrie, the murderer's dad, described a phone call he had with Brian on August 29th, 2021. This is the dad. Under oath. He was not calm. He got very excited and told me things had, you know, quote, "Gabby's gone." He got very frantic. I had no idea what he meant by those words. Quote, he was very panicked. He said he didn't know what to do. He said, "You know, can you help me?" He said he might need a lawyer. He said he tried to calm his son down and told him he would call an attorney the family knew. Asked in his deposition why he thought his son might need an attorney, he said, "I didn't know." Okay.
In other news, an Illinois teacher
Your kid calls you and says, "My girlfriend's gone. He's frantic. I don't know what to do, and I need a lawyer." That sounds like a Dateline episode to me, sir.
From the New York Post.
I hate them.
These dreamers are not safe for work. Sam and I are teasing on you. But
if a child of mine calls frantic and says, "I need a lawyer."
Well, no. You left out the most important part. If one of your children called and said their significant other was gone. Not missing.
Gone.
And then said, "I need a lawyer." I'm assuming that their significant other is dead and they're responsible. You're telling me that a father of a young man whose son tells him in the call that his girlfriend is gone, again, not missing, but gone, and needs an attorney, what father wouldn't say, "Okay, we're going to get you an attorney, but why?
What happened and why?
What did you do?"
To play devil's advocate, you never assume that your child is a murderer. So wouldn't your assumption be maybe they got in a fight and he laid hands on her and that's why he needs an attorney?
She's gone.
Drove away.
Well, it was his car.
I'm telling you, I know you are.
I do not understand how they are not in prison. I mean, I do legally understand that, like, well,
hard
we can't
prove.
Quite prove that they knew. I mean, they could have been talking about football in that 55-minute conversation. Give me a break.
It defies logic. There is no explanation whatsoever as to why these parents. I mean, we've had the conversation on the air before. You know, what would you do if your kid came home, God forbid, and said, Mom, I killed somebody? And I think we're all in agreement. You would contact the best attorney you've got.
Absolutely.
And they would walk them into the police station.
You would not lie to the family of that missing child.
Right.
And say, we don't know anything. And it's our hope that she's found just fine. You know, maybe she is cooling off somewhere. Oh, she was cooling off.
Yeah. It is.
This is why I didn't incredible. Watch two or three. I was so mad after watching the first one that police let them go.
Shane in Olathe. Hello, Shane. Good afternoon.
You know, Dan, I, my wife and I were screaming at the TV as well. You know, every case that I ever worked on domestic dispute, the thing that people don't understand is it takes so long usually to get to the point of physical violence that they've been groomed.
Yep.
You know, it was all, yes, it was my fault. I'm neurotic. I have OCD is what she kept saying, you mm-hmm. know, and they kept kind of leading her down that path. And my wife was really upset at the fact that they gave him a hotel for battered people.
And kept her in a van.
In a car. But see, here's the thing. I agree with that. Here's why. You leave him stationary.
Oh.
She wants to leave. Now she has the car. She's gone. She can leave him in that hotel as far as I'm concerned. But if you put her in a static place, he can now go
where she is. This is why I love that our cops listen, Shane. I never thought about that. It was safer to have her be mobile than it was at the time that the 911 call came in that he had been striking her.
Correct. And the whole thing, like I said, it was just crazy how, yes, absolutely, they were infringing on that investigation. Because the first time, if you remember, they said, yeah, he's inside. Okay, well, her car is here. It was registered to her.
Yeah.
There's problems. And real quick before I let you go, if you haven't, and I've been off for a while, so I haven't heard you guys. If you have not seen Surviving Black Hawk Down, Run, Do Not Walk.
That is tonight, actually. We were hanging out.
Fantastic.
We were hanging out with some friends from the sales department a little while ago, and somebody mentioned that they had watched it the other night, and they said it is unbelievable.
On Netflix, it looks like.
Surviving Black Hawk Down.
It's a series.
It's a documentary. It's from Ridley Scott.
Who did Black Hawk Down, by the way.
Correct. It's about three or four episodes. What captured me is I had a buddy who was there.
Oh, God.
And everything, the thing that's really cool about it is they actually have a self-appointed wartime correspondent. Somebody who actually was there and just grabbed a video camera. And usually in movies, you say, okay, how much Hollywood did they put into this?
Right.
They didn't put enough. It was crazy how many people they were up against.
So did they anyway. – hang on for just a second, Shane.
Yeah.
Black Hawk Down is one of my all-time favorite movies. I love that movie. The general in that movie who I think most people would say made some serious mistakes – I don't know if he's still alive, but if he is, was he interviewed for this documentary?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't want to give anything away, but there's some things obviously they took into effect and you know, at the end of, you know, hey, he retired, you know, right after Adid was killed. But it was, it kind of showed why they were so angry. Things that
sure.
The Somalis, why the Somalis were so angry.
Absolutely. Even though we were there to help along with the UN, they, you know, were saying, hey, you know, we carry weapons because we have to protect ourselves against these militia. And we were pulled out of our car. And he goes, the next day I joined the militia because of the way they were treated. It was amazing. It was,
huh.
you, it's, yeah, it's definitely worth a watch.
Shane, thank you. We'll do that tonight. Surviving Black Hawk Down.
Yeah. I've heard nothing but good things about it.
I need to watch that because I cannot watch episodes 2 and 3.
I think you're going to regret that. Because you are a true crime, not a connoisseur, but...
A lot less than I used to be. Because it just makes me so mad.
All right. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I think it's sort of a standard thing in our business that people get into media, especially like, you know, talk radio or music radio, where they have a lot of personality and talk a lot, like on Dara's show. I think that there are just sometimes these weird thoughts go through your head and you can't explain it.
Okay.
And I couldn't help but think about Bill Brooks' wife. And I don't know her from Adam. I don't even know.
Is her name Bonnie?
I don't know if he's even married.
Bonnie.
But and you know, does he use that voice and that enunciation in his real life affairs? And I thought, you know, maybe he goes home from work tonight and he goes, "Baby, how about you and me head to the bedroom?" And that was the thought that went through my head. Stop. And I started laughing. "Hey, baby."
Stop it.
I love you bunches. Anyway. So that's... I'd like to butter your biscuit.
So good.
A story here from, I believe it's out of Texas, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I did hear back from Libby, so read that first and then we'll talk about it.
Says here, experts are warning pet owners to, although the dateline is Cincinnati, experts are warning pet owners to check their pet's veterinary records after a pet microchip company unexpectedly went out of business. It is Texas. Save This Life is a Texas-based company, but their microchips are used nationally.
How about Save This Data? Oh, wait, they didn't.
The company went down, shut down on January 24th, along with its database. Lisa Kalina with Cincinnati Animal Care says that means those microchips in your pet nationwide, if you got it from Save This Life, the microchip in your pet is completely 100% worthless.
Yep.
Quoting here from Lisa Kalina with Cincinnati Animal Care, it's a little unclear at this point what happened. Unfortunately, they're defunct. They don't come up with any owner information. They're pretty much null and void. Huh.
So it is a nationwide company. I started seeing some chatter about this on Facebook today where people who follow the animal websites will see this, like the rescue websites mm-hmm. are saying, you know, check and make sure. I don't want the veterinarians to be flooded with phone calls on this. If there's a way that you have the paperwork that you can just look,
yeah.
Look and see if this is this now shuttered Texas company.
Save this life.
And I reached out to Doc Libby and said, hey, like, have you heard of this company? Do a lot of people use them here? How popular was the company? She wrote back, and I'm just going to read from the email, not very popular. There are a lot of fly-by-night companies out there that are super cheap. The chips rarely work very well or very long, and they do target rescues a lot. So buyer beware when you're getting, you know, I wouldn't look for a Groupon for the microchip is how I read that email from her.
Okay. Now, the good news is even if your dog or cat or whomever has a Save This Life microchip, you don't have to get a second one. What you can do, and it says in this story out of Cincinnati, you can take your dog or cat or whatever to the vet.
Yep.
They can scan, if you know your dog or cat has a chip, they can scan it and tell you whether or not it's defunct and then somehow transfer the information back
to a different company that maybe is more
reputable.
Yeah.
913-586-7798, 913-586-7798.
I'm worried the veterinarians are going to just be flooded with phone calls today. And you know, they're there to help, don't get me wrong, but if you can, check to be sure that you used this company. I mean, it could be 10 people in Kansas City or it could be 10,000. We don't know.
By the way, the there is no message regarding a shutdown on the Save This Life website. This TV station, WLWT, did call the phone number associated with Save This Life, and it said the line was out of service. And surprisingly, the company did not respond to their emails.
It's also out of service.
913-586-7798. Lisa in Olathe. Hello, Lisa.
Hi, I was just giving you a call about the microchip.
Yeah.
I work at a vet office, and our rep came in that is with a company called Covetris. And she said that through them, I believe you can either register it with them for free, or I think she'd said, or pay $20. And I think she said, get a new one or register it somewhere else. So there is a little bit of hope out there.
Okay, yeah, and microchipping, I found, is not very expensive.
No.
It's $15 to $20, roughly. I don't know that from experience. I never did microchip Stella, as I said last hour.
She never left.
But she never left my side. Never once. Well, the one time, and I think it scared her straight, because she almost got hit and killed by a car. And then she never left my side after that. And I don't think a microchip would have been necessary if my dog had been hit by a car. Just a guess. An Illinois teacher was arrested after authorities say he strangled a man during a discussion about
politics.
Bingo. Michael Belden, 52 years old, was charged yesterday with aggravated battery involving strangling and aggravated battery of a person over the age of 60.
Went for the throat, huh?
Winnebago sheriff's deputies responded on February 17th to reports of a fight at a brewery. 65-year-old man told investigators he was discussing politics with Belden, who he said was his friend, when Belden lunged at him and choked him. Surveillance video does show the men talking for about 2 minutes before everything went off the rails. Belden then grabbed the man by the throat, telling police he acted in self-defense. He's listed as a teacher at an elementary school.
Mm-hmm. Let's go get jugged up at a bar and talk about politics.
I can't think of anything better. Wow. Okay. See, this is why on this show and with my family, we never, ever talk politics.
Now, we did have a caller on Friday who it was their grievance, actually, that we do not promote critical thought anymore. You don't have to have the conversation on the grounds that you're going to be changing somebody's opinion. But why are we in a society now where it gets to a point where we're strangling each other?
Because no one is going to move an inch. There are too many crazy people. And so the default then is we are just not going to talk about it. Like, if you're smart, you just won't talk about it.
But isn't avoidance just going to make it worse?
Not with this one specific topic. Like, I can now have a normal, reasonable conversation about firearms with friends of mine who have them.
Who are you?
Or have I can have a reasonable conversation. I don't agree. It's not my thing, but I've gotten to a point where I can do that now without wanting to smack someone over the head with a ball peen hammer.
Well, and I think
politics, there is no point whatsoever in having the conversation right now.
Well, and I think, like, when it comes to religion or guns, all the things that we don't talk about, right? I can have a healthy, functioning conversation about somebody who has a different faith than my own or belongs to a different denomination, because I'm not trying to change them. And if they try to change me, I'm going to tell them, you know what, let's talk about something else, because I'm not moving. I like where I am in my religious life. With politics, for some reason, and I don't know when it started, but I can kind of generalize the time, it became personal. It almost became an extension of who you are.
The anger is almost immediate, and to me, that is one of the biggest issues. And to Dana's point, the first phrase that came out of your mouth is nobody's moving an inch. Mm-hmm. The conversation shouldn't be on the grounds of getting anybody to move an inch. That's where it becomes personal.
Well, but the two sides or three sides or however many sides there are, how do I say this? It's tribalism is what it is. That's the word I was looking
for. Anyway, we can move on. Yeah, it's just the idea.
You would be better off finding the nearest brick wall and slamming your head into it.
Yeah. It's not about critical thinking. We didn't remove politics from this show more than a decade ago, well over a decade ago, because we didn't want to engage in critical thinking or, you know, educate the audience. We moved away from it because the few times that Dana and I even talked about politics, and we are not the same, Dana and me, in that regard. Callers and texters got so mad.
People have said to me, and this is the last thing I'm going to say about it. People have said to me, well, you just tick off half your audience. And I correct them every single time. No, you don't. You tick off 100% of your audience.
That's exactly right.
It's not 50 anymore.
No. Because somebody's getting angry, and now I'm going to get angry because I disagree with that person, and then the next caller is going to get angry with the two of us because that person has a completely different opinion of everything that we just said.
And I can't drink in the studio anymore, so it's a lot of Obama.
What?
She said I can't drink in the studio anymore.
No, I heard what she said. I heard it.
All right. These dreams are not safe for work. Some of people's wildest dreams include being naked at work and working without pants, according to a new study. This is from the New York Post.
Wait, that was supposed to be a dream?
Put on your pants!
A staggering 64% of Americans admit to having work-related, they call them nightmares. Says, who is this?
I don't know. It's pretty warm in this studio today. That would be a dream.
Says Daffy Duck.
Lane Dolphin, a.k.a. the Dream Analyst.
Oh.
Has been interpreting dreams for 50 years, explaining that dreams are metaphors, and dreaming about showing up to work naked may mean the person is anxious about exposing something about themselves. She tells the Post, our dreams are not literal. If I am thinking about revealing my true feelings to someone, a dream about showing up for work naked might fit. She also explains that anything forbidden can also be expressed in your dreams.
Hello.
Hmm.
When you.
I feel.
Would you.
Put your pants on.
No.
By the way, dreams about being late to work is the number one dream about work.
Or just not getting the story done if you're in broadcasting. That's always the dream.
Oh, I've told you mine.
I think it's the same as mine, isn't it?
A caller starts cussing and I reach for the dump button and the dump button's just not there.
And you're not wearing pants. That's just awkward for everybody.
That's just normal.
Mine is, and this is a recurring dream, I've had it a million times, is I'm enrolled in college. It's the end of the semester. We're taking exams, and it's always an English class.
Yep.
And I haven't read any of the books, and I haven't been to class. And then I walk into the classroom. I know exactly where it is for some reason, even though I never went. And I sit down and take the test, and that's when I always wake up. Totally unprepared for a test. 913-586-7798. Sam, Dana, I am Scott, here on KMVZ. You have a question?
I just noticed every once in a while on the program, a word comes up that, you know, we don't hear very often. And in the body of the story about the shuttered microchip company, Scott mentioned the word on several occasions, defunct.
I was reading from the news copy. It must be a very popular word
in Cincinnati. The microchipping company is, in fact, defunct. And I said to Scott during a break, can you be funked?
It is no longer funked. Man, that is, I don't like that.
It was funked, and now it is defunct.
Well, let's take a gander and find out if, Sam, say it for me.
No, I'm good. I uttered it once. I don't want to do it again.
I feel like it's a word, and it should be brought back.
It is a real word, and it has Latin roots.
Okay.
It means to perform or to execute.
Okay.
To defunctify.
You're thinking about it too much, and you're going to mess up when you try to say it.
Well, you planted that seed in my brain, and now I'm afraid.
It's just one of those weird words you only use when you're talking about a company that is shut down or a product.
Correct. Nobody ever says...
relationship. Defunct.
No, but it also means, as I mentioned, without the D on the front, it also means to perform or to execute. You never hear somebody say, stand by, I'm going to go out there and this project.
Yeah.
To execute the project.
The word without D in front of it really makes me disgruntled.
I feel like we should bring it back. We should bring back all of those words whilst we can.
If we avoid saying that word, I will be gruntled.
Well, hang on. If you deplane from a plane, can you plane the plane?
What are you doing? I'm planing. Get in line, people. We're about to plane.
I mean, if it's good for the goose, it's got to be good for the gander, right?
I guess.
Do you know what I forgot to tell you guys? I can't believe this. We'll bring this back tomorrow. Okay. Did I tell you when we got to our seats in the Sphere, we looked down the row. You know, you can start doing the math in your head when you're looking down the row.
Mm-hmm.
And there were two people in our seats. And we're like,
oh, I hate that.
I know, right? It's awkward for you. It's awkward for them. They went online, Scott, and quote, bought tickets to see the Eagles at the Sphere. And they were not legitimate.
How do you know that theirs were the ones that weren't legit and yours
because
were?
Because we had the actual tickets from the box office. They had like the sheet of paper with the, you know, Ticketmaster was like one. It looked like one where somebody said, here, give us $1,000 and then print this off. I don't know.
How'd they get in?
Well,
must have been pretty good.
They did talk their way in. But
so they got stopped at the gate.
Yeah, we had two tickets. They had two tickets, and our tickets beat their two tickets. And by the way, speaking of tickets, the line is already forming at Children's Mercy Park.
Oh yeah. By the way, Sam found this online from a very reputable sports source. Lionel Messi will play at the beginning of the match tonight.
He will be on the pitch at first touch.
Yes.
Now he will 3 minutes in.
Funked.
Okay. All right.
But. He's. I can't. It's in my head.
By the way, the opposite of deplaning would be inplaning, right?
I thought it would just be planing. Birthdays today. Smokey Robinson is 85, one of the best voices in the business. And Seal is 62. His real name is Henry Samuel. On behalf of our producer today, the finest man in these United States, the great Sam Stevie III, my good friend and co-host Dana Wright, I'm Scott Parks. Have a great night. Be safe. Be well. And be good to one another. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.